Today's edition of the Daily Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It's the Daily Daily Caller podcast for the 6th of February, 2020. It's a Thursday, which means it's almost Friday, which means it's a good thing. Damn it, we could all use a weekend after this. We could use 2 weekends, all right? 2 weekends after this week, I think, is only fair. Of course, life is unfair, so what are you going to do? I'm Derek Hunter. Welcome to the program. I'm your host. I'm the one to complain to about whatever you got. Yeah, I don't even know. Just one of those days where it's sort of really non-triumphant. I know I'm supposed to be mad at Mitt Romney. I really am. Everybody's supposed to be mad at Mitt Romney, and everybody's out there feigning anger at Mitt Romney, and I just don't care. I've never cared what Mitt Romney was going to do as a senator. Who cares what Mitt Romney's going to do? I don't care what the score is of a game. I care who wins. That's what's important. My dad always told me it doesn't matter if you win by 1 or 1 million. A win is a win. It goes down as a win. It's that simple. And the same goes for losses. So the Republicans won. President Trump won yesterday. That Mitt Romney, do you really think the history books are going to be inexorably altered because Mitt Romney on one of the two articles of impeachment voted guilty, making the vote 52-48 instead of 53-47? That's suddenly going to shape the historical view of this? Do you know who writes history? Anyway, we'll get into that. And much. We're still waiting on Iowa, for God's sakes. How in the hell is Iowa? Can we get rid of Iowa? Normally, I want to get rid of Florida, the nation's uvula, because of all the crazy stories that come out of there. But Iowa is like, no, we can. For this time is our chance to shine. We can out embarrass Iowa. I mean, my God. How do you not count votes after 2 days? We're going on day three of Iowa, and we're barely over 80% of the votes counted. You could have physically, Iowa ain't that big. You could have physically walked the votes to wherever they had to go in the state by now. They could have actually just held another caucus in the amount of time that they've been sitting there and trying to count votes. But, hey, who am I? I don't know. I eat their corn, so what the hell do I know? Anyway, we'll get to all that and more, but first, as we always have to do, we have to say a good thank you to our sponsor, and today's program is sponsored by Life Change Tea, available only at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com, all one word. Keeps you regular, cleans you out, helps your body get rid of all the gross stuff that hangs around in you for far too long, and makes your body more able to absorb the nutrition from the food that we do eat. The food we eat is carrying less nutrition than ever before. They're processing all the good stuff out of it, so you've got to absorb everything good that you put in your body, and that's where Life Change Tea comes out. You just drink a cup a day. You brew up like a gallon of it at once. You just put it in an empty milk gallon, wash it out really good, brew it up, and then drink a cup a day. Don't do more than a cup a day, just a cup a day, and that will make you regular. They say it's the tea that makes you go because, well, it's the tea that makes you go. All natural, all good for you. Go to getthetea.com. They have all kinds of stuff at getthetea.com, by the way. All sorts of supplements and things that are going to make you feel better, give you more energy. Check them out. And whatever you decide to buy, enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout, and you get special discounts, special favors just for you for listening to this program as a way of thanking you and thanking them. Everybody gets thanked. Everybody gets something that they want. And it's a win-win-win situation. Go to getthetea.com, enter promo code Derek, and continue winning. Okay, speaking of winning, The President of the United States was acquitted yesterday. And while sitting here and doing show prep and getting things together, I thought, A, should I play some audio of Mitt Romney's speech? And it really was kind of an insufferable. I don't doubt his sincerity. I just don't like his sincerity. Is that something you can say? He's a man of deep religious conviction. I prefer my people of deep religious convictions to not have to tell me that they have deep religious convictions. Just live like it. But, okay, if you want to peacock around, go ahead. Congratulations. They're your feathers. You can spread them out and march around and be morally superior. You can dance around like the church lady used to on Saturday Night Live. Knock yourself out. So I thought, do I want to play any of that audio? And I said, no, I don't really want to play any of that audio. A, it's boring. B, he just drones on, and it really is just moral preening. If you care what Mitt Romney said, or honestly, if you care what any of the senators said, you can find it online. But to be perfectly honest with you, they gave them 2 days to go down there and preen about, oh, Donald Trump is awful, or the Democrats are awful for bringing this process. It was a gigantic exercise in masturbation, which is one of the few things our government actually does quite well. So none of the speeches interested me. I'll tell you what interested me. I wanted to know how Susan Collins was going to vote. I didn't care why Susan Collins was going to vote one way or the other. I wanted to know the end result. I don't have time to sift through a 9-minute 55 speech from a senator from Maine talking about how difficult this situation was and it was wrong to do this, but it's just not impeachable. I couldn't care less what the rationale was. You know, I'm not one of those people who, if there's a game on that I'm interested in, I can't DVR it. I can't, you know, oh, well, I'm going to sit and watch this hockey game all the way through. No, I'm not. The hockey game ended 3 hours ago. I'm going to fast forward until I see a goal. Then I'm going to rewind, watch the goal, go, all right, good goal. Fast forward till I see another goal. And then probably after a couple of goals, I'm going to go, you know what? There's other stuff that I'd rather do. What was the score of the game? And I'd just look up the score of the game. Because how it happened is neat in the moment, but it loses all emotion and all excitement once it's over, at least for me. Once I know that it's over, I look at it this way. I loved Breaking Bad, the TV show Breaking Bad. It was excellent. If you haven't seen Breaking Bad, watch Breaking Bad. It's on Netflix. I think it used to be on Netflix, probably still is. Watch 3 episodes of Breaking Bad. Because after the first episode, you're going to go, I don't know about this one. I'm not really sure. And then you watch the second episode and you go, still not sure. By the third one, if you're not hooked, you're probably never really going to like the show. That's just how it is. But you watch all 5 seasons of Breaking Bad, or I watched all 5 seasons of Breaking Bad, and I thought it was absolutely excellent from week to week. Sometimes in the same episode, you're sitting there going, what the hell's going to happen? I don't know who's going to survive. I don't know who's going to get killed. I don't know who's going to get arrested. I don't know what's going to happen. Then, you know, and all the characters were absolutely brilliantly portrayed, and the writing was some of the best writing in the history of television. It was just all around amazing. And then the same people go back and do Better Call Saul. Saul is one of the characters. He's the sort of TV advert commercial sleazy lawyer in Breaking Bad. And you go, oh, Better Call Saul. Okay, I'll watch that. And it's all a prequel. It's all a prequel, and some people who were killed in Breaking Bad make appearances, and they try to build up tension somehow in the Better Call Saul show with these characters that you know they survive. You know, they live. You can't really, if the ultimate tension is not there, then you really have no tension. Oh my God, will Saul and his friend get out of this situation alive? Of course they will, because this is a prequel to a show that he's alive on. It's kind of that way. Same way with a lot of prequel movies and everything. You just remove the tension. And when you know the outcome is out there, when you know it's a foregone conclusion that Donald Trump is not going to be removed from office, and you really sit down and think about it, how he gets there isn't really all that interesting. If there was a, you know, a chance they're going to get to 65 votes to convict, and if two more Republicans switch over or two votes change or whatever, that's it for President Trump, then I would have probably sat there with bated breath and watched it. As it is, I sat there because it was on and I was doing other things. I thought, well, I'll watch. This is history, just in case. You know, not many people can say they've seen, well, actually, almost everybody alive now can say that they've seen it twice. Anybody who's was too young to remember Bill Clinton, whatever, you don't count. But everybody else can pretty much say, yeah, you know, I saw two impeachment votes. Hopefully we won't see any more impeachment votes, but with Democrats around, you never know. You literally never know. So that's why I thought about getting the Mitt Romney stuff, and I thought, I don't care what his justification is. I'll just tell you what his justification was. It was because of his deeply held religious beliefs. And even beyond that, it has to do with his father and trying to live up to his father's expectations. If you see the story in The Atlantic, Mitt Romney sure did a hell of a lot of interviews with media before he bothered to tell the American people, and more importantly, the people of Utah, how he was going to vote. It's weird how that works out. The people who hired him, who gave him his job, you can wait. The Atlantic gets the exclusive, not my constituents. That's just, I don't know. And that makes me think that it might be for moral preening reasons more so than anything else. And I thought, well, I was going to mock Mitt Romney, and I was going to go and get the Lone Ranger theme and try and recut it, because there's some words in the Lone Ranger theme. And I thought, well, I could recut that to the William Tell Overture and say, you know, the Lone Republican, blah, blah, blah. And then I thought, it's just not even worth it. It's really not worth it. I'm surprised. I'll be surprised if by Friday, with the exception of the Sunday shows, because they have to, although, who knows, maybe the vote from Iowa won't be in by then and they'll have something else to talk about. But I suspect with the exception of the Sunday shows and Democrats trying to make it an issue, impeachment will be a forgotten point of our history by this weekend. In all honesty, can you really imagine anybody campaigning on this? Democrats sure as hell aren't going to campaign. I guess the ones like a Maxine Waters who are safe, who nothing's going to happen to, they'll run around talking about how we impeached 45. We impeached 45. Well, congratulations. Good for you. Your district is writhing in poverty and you're setting a horrible example for people and you're ruining lives. But you know what? You got an impeachment vote on Donald Trump. So, you know, advantage Maxine Waters, who doesn't live in her district. But other than people like that, the unhinged, protected class in politics, most people didn't pay attention to this at all while it was happening. They aren't going to waste their time thinking about it now that it's over. So this was one of the biggest epic fails in the history of political strategy. This ranks up there with putting Michael Dukakis in that tank. This goes up there with Al Gore hiring Naomi Wolf to tell him what color suits to wear. And he's an earth color. He's an earth tone. He needs to go with brown. This is John Kerry windsurfing and wearing that full body condom thing he did while he was crawling around in whatever the hell it was, a piece of the International Space Station or whatever before they set it up. This is so bad, an epic backfire that I don't know that we will ever see its likes again. Donald Trump is more popular than he has ever been as president. How do you get to this point? You get to this point by not making a case. You get to this point by saying, hey, everybody, look at this guy. This guy is corrupt. And everybody turns and looks and says, okay, show us. And they go, he's just corrupt. Just take my word for it. Why aren't you taking my word for it? Sorry, the American people like proof. They don't like, you know, the wild allegations, unproven, unsubstantiated, completely not backed up by anything. And that's what we got in this. Donald Trump committed bribery. Why didn't you charge him with it? Don't tell me what to do. Donald Trump's acts were so awful. It only worked. This argument worked on one human being. There was no Democrat who walked into that Senate trial with their mind opened and curious and going, you know what? I could go either way on this thing. I am ready to see the evidence and I will weigh it for myself. There were Democrats walking in going, I can't believe that these Republicans aren't walking in with an open mind so that they can be educated about how awful and criminal Donald Trump is. Of course, our dutiful media earning their service dog vest played right along with it. I shudder to think how many kibble they got from Democrats' pockets for being such loyal dogs, but loyal dogs they were. They played along. They pretended that this was a major, major thing. There was literally no questioning that I saw of any public official on CNN or MSNBC throughout this entire thing. Of any serious nature that was related to whether or not the president was guilty, whether or not anything that they were accusing the president of was an actual crime, or whether or not it was an impeachable offense. It was all an accepted, foregone conclusion by everybody on the left. Donald Trump is bad, therefore we have to get rid of him. Don't question the methods, and dutifully, no one in media did. They just accepted it. Will they accept the verdict just as easily? Again, this was a massive telegraphed punch. Everybody knew that they were not going to get a conviction. They were not going to get Donald Trump removed from office. But I suspect they won't accept this because they can't accept this. They have nothing else going for them currently. Jerry Nadler is out there saying that they're going to continue the investigation. They might subpoena John Bolton. You never know. You just got to hold back and wait. It is... my two-year-old learns lessons faster than this. Then again, my two-year-old doesn't have as much at stake. Sure, her self-esteem is more tied up in Peppa Pig figures and PJ Mask dolls than now Frozen. God, I thought it was going to escape that, but little did I know it was going to come on with a vengeance. Her life and excitement is wrapped up in that. Democrats' political fate and their livelihoods are tied up in damaging Donald Trump any way they possibly can. So they are going to keep biting at that apple until they eat every single seed, the stem, and the core. So while this chapter ends, I suspect there is a very long appendix. And afterwards, acknowledgments and everything else, the index after this, the end part of this book. Because what's the alternative? The Democrats run on what they're promising their voters? My God, could you imagine having to do that? The horror of that? They can't do that. What are they going to run on? We're competent to take over 1/6 of the U.S. economy. We can't count votes in Iowa, but don't worry. We'll make sure that you don't die because of medical malpractice or rationing. Don't worry, we got health care. We can totally manage 1/6 of the U.S. economy. They can't manage their own budgets. Give me a break. So I hope that we can stop talking about impeachment. I'm sure there will be books written about it. I'm sure people will get rich off of it. I'm sure Adam Schiff will finally sell a screenplay. I mean, what the hell? Why stop now? He's finally famous. People want to see him. So I don't know who, but they'll make the rounds on the nighttime shows because the nighttime shows aren't about comedy anymore. They're just political speeches with applause lines. There are no punchlines anymore. But there are punchlines in politics, of course. And the latest and perhaps the greatest is the Iowa caucuses. Good God. The Democrats still are unable to get a final vote tally to declare a winner. The race keeps getting closer. As of last count, 92% of the vote is in. Mayor Pete holds on to a... Now, this is how screwed up Democrats are and how screwed up they've made their system. Mayor Pete is leading in the delegate count, 26.5% to 25.6% over Bernie Sanders. But they're not actually getting delegates assigned to them. They're getting delegates assigned to go to the state convention where the delegates will to the national convention will actually be awarded. But Bernie Sanders has won the popular vote. Remember, this is the party that wants to do away with the Electoral College because this isn't democracy. We need to be a democracy. The one person, one vote. Whoever gets the most votes wins. So they set up this system at Bernie's insistence in Iowa. And it turns out that at least as of now, it's still screwing Bernie Sanders pretty good. Because while he likely wins and will probably win the popular vote, he won the popular vote and he won the second choice vote. So he's won two of the three ways you could win. It looks like he and Mayor Pete are probably going to come out of Iowa with the same number of delegates. So they'll be tied in the delegate count. But since it's taken 3, 4, 5, 10, who the hell knows how many days it is ultimately take. Since it's taken so long, Mayor Pete has already had the ability to claim victory and to be interviewed across media and have news stories written about how Pete is in the lead. We don't know the final results, but Mayor Pete is still in the lead. Well, that's as good as a victory in the minds of people paying attention. So whatever momentum, and there ain't a whole lot of momentum to come out of Iowa thanks to this screw-up, but whatever momentum exists in Iowa, it's not with the guy who got the most votes, Bernie Sanders. It's with the guy who got the second most votes, Pete Buttigieg. Because of the screwed-up system in Iowa, Pete Buttigieg actually got more delegates than Bernie Sanders, who got more votes than him. Are you following? Are you confused yet? Are you ready to, you know, poke your ears out? I don't blame you. But again, don't worry. I'm sure they'll get their act together by the time it's time for them to take over your health care. By the way, the really big news out of Iowa is not that Bernie won and Pete stole it, or at least stole the thunder. It's how poorly Elizabeth Warren and, more importantly, Joe Biden did. Elizabeth Warren, you got Buttigieg at 26.5. You got Sanders at 25.6. They're 0.9% away from each other. And then at 18.3, you've got Pocahontas, Liawatha herself, Elizabeth Warren. And beneath that, and not even a really close third, is Joe Biden at 15.9%. Now, again, there's still 8% of the vote out there. So by the end of next month, we'll have a better picture of what happened in Iowa. But it's worth noting that my suspicion is that the establishment in the Democratic Party does not want Bernie Sanders. And they're recognizing now slowly that they're not going to get Joe Biden, that the voters simply don't want Joe Biden. So they're scrambling to try and find something else, some alternative. And that alternative might end up ultimately being Michael Bloomberg. As weird as it sounds, there's no real party-wide excitement for the candidates. Joe Biden was the front runner in all the polls, in all the national polls. He still does well in national polls. It's just not working out for him in state polls. And if that falls apart, if he comes away from New Hampshire next week, 1 week from tomorrow, yesterday, I think, if he comes away with another fourth place finish, which is a distinct possibility there in New Hampshire, he's kind of screwed. He's really screwed, as a matter of fact. And if he's screwed, the party's kind of screwed. Mayor Pete hasn't really faced any scrutiny. He just hasn't. He's quick on his feet. He'd be okay in that sense on the stage with Donald Trump. But what he says and what he's said so many times in trying to get into this position is sort of an ankle weight on him. It's an anchor around his feet that have screwed him going forward. trying to appeal to moderate voters, to mainstream Americans even. The Associated, it's not just me thinking that the party structure is in panic. The Associated Press has a story. Joe Biden's third political bid enters a critical stretch after a disappointing finish in the Iowa caucuses sent the former vice president onto New Hampshire with a skittish donor base, low cash reserves, and the looming threat of billionaire rival Michael Bloomberg and his unlimited personal wealth. And that is really the situation for Joe Biden. If he doesn't come up with some kind of Bill Clinton-esque comeback kid, and people forget, in 1992, Bill Clinton got the label the comeback kid after the New Hampshire primary, which he did not win. That's an important point to make, is that Bill Clinton he anointed himself the comeback kid, and the media kind of went right along with it. It's kind of funny because it's pathetic too, and it was really an indication of just how deep the media bias was at the time, and maybe we just didn't notice it. I don't know, but in 1992, Bill Clinton called himself the comeback kid after coming in second place to Paul Tsongas. He'd lost badly in Iowa, and he had all the scandals of all of his past girlfriends coming out and this, that, and the other thing. So it wasn't really all that good for him. But he did that 60 Minutes interview between Iowa and New Hampshire. This was his last chance. This was him and Hillary's last chance. And he came in a distant second. Paul Tsongas had 33.2% of the vote. Bill Clinton had 24.7% of the vote. That's a landslide victory. But the narrative was set by Bill Clinton. I'm the comeback kid. And the media went along with it because Paul Tsongas really had no charisma nor chance. And Bill Clinton went on to win the nomination and win the presidency twice, never having won the popular vote, by the way. But keep that in mind. Joe Biden doesn't have to win in New Hampshire. If Joe Biden comes in second place, he can make a convincing-esque case, at least to the media and to the left, that he's the comeback grandpa. can't call Joe Biden a kid. But you say he's on the comeback. He made a massive comeback. All he has to do is finish second, get the silver. Third place, maybe he can still make the same argument. But his biggest problem, and this is something that doesn't get talked about enough, Joe Biden's biggest problem isn't his own gaffes. He's been a gaffe machine his whole public life. People know that. That it's gotten worse is a bigger problem, but it's not the biggest problem he's facing. It's money that he's facing. Joe Biden raised a lot of money right out of the gate. Joe Biden has raised and spent a lot of money on this campaign so far. But he's done so from, relatively speaking, compared to the rest of the field, relatively few donors, which means that they've maxed out to him. The vast majority of the people upon whom he can count have maxed out to him. So he can't go back to those wells. Where does he get money? How does he, at this late place in the process, where does he come up with new donors? If you're not excited by Joe Biden yet, which who could blame you? But if you're not excited by Joe Biden yet and you're a committed Democratic primary voter, what's going to get you excited about Joe Biden? If you are involved in Democratic Party politics and you're inclined to give, you will have already chosen, adopted your candidate, and you will have been giving to them. Probably not maxing out, you know, giving 10 bucks here, 50 bucks there, whatever you can afford when you can, but you've probably committed to somebody else. If they drop out, your disposable income isn't all that great. So are you really going to risk a mortgage payment or a rent payment or medicine payment or whatever to give $250 to Joe Biden to make up for the lost time that Joe Biden needs to make up for in his fundraising slacking? I don't think so. Maybe he'll pick up the $5 and $10 a month donors. That's entirely possible if they get a second chance. But he needs more than that. He needs to expand his base because his base is tapped out. And I just don't see it. And you look at Michael Bloomberg and you hear the kind of money that Michael Bloomberg is spending. Michael Bloomberg has already spent more than everybody else in the race combined, and it hasn't made a single dent in his personal wealth. Could be very, very funny in the year of irony, irony beyond irony, that the Democratic Party that hates the wealthy, that hates white people, really, especially non-progressive whiteys, but rich whiteys right up there, that they end up with a nominee who is one of the richest men in the world who also happens to be white. He also has a history of misogyny. Could you imagine Michael Bloomberg? He's like 5'6". He's just this side of a dwarf. He has said really horrible things to and about women throughout his professional life. Been sued multiple times. Will not let women out of the non-disclosure agreements, so they won't know how much money Bloomberg actually shoveled their way to keep their mouths shut. And he's going to be the nominee of the woke, capitalism is evil, white people are oppressors, the rich are the worst ever. That could be who they end up with. That or, you know, just a run-of-the-mill millionaire, white-haired, crazy son of a bitch socialist from Vermont. Before we move on, let's have a shout-out to our other sponsor, DoorDash. I used them last Saturday. As a matter of fact, got some really delicious Chinese food delivered for the family. DoorDash, yes, download the DoorDash app and enter promo code CALLER, and you get $5 off your first order of $15 or more. Look, takeout is a drag because you got to go and get it. And then there's that thing, do I tip you? What do I do? I don't know how this works. Do I tip for takeout? Did they get your order right and all this stuff? And you can just remove all of that with DoorDash. DoorDash will take care of all of that for you. That's right. You open the DoorDash app, you choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. They not only have your favorite pizza joints already, but they've got over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you can find something new. You can try a new flavor of food. And it's not just the chains like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, Cheesecake Factory. Oh, they've got those. But it's all the little local restaurants, too, no matter what you're in the mood for. If you got a hankering, DoorDash has you covered. You don't have to worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you. That means there's no cleanup after cooking. Take a night off. Relax. Let somebody else do the work. Get $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code CALLER. Don't forget that's promo code CALLER for $5 off your first order, and you'll thank me for it. You won't have the dishes to do. You won't have to work for an hour and a half. You can get other things done and then knock at your door, or the app tells you, hey, your driver's approaching, and boom, you've got a warm, hot, delicious meal. A couple of weeks ago, I ordered Outback Steakhouse, I think it was. It was great. It was like being at the restaurant without the hassle of going to the restaurant and the comfort of your own home, all that delicious food. Download the DoorDash app, enter promo code CALLER, $5 off your first order of $15 or more. There you go. You're welcome. Now you can eat and be productive or relax and have fun. All that good stuff. Now back to the show. You know, Donald Trump has been incredibly, incredibly lucky in many respects in his political career, short as it has been. But no way has he been luckier than the quality of his opponents. Hillary Clinton could not have been a worse candidate had she gone around setting random audience members at her rallies on fire on stage just for fun. I don't know that Hillary would have done any worse. Nobody'd walk away going, you know, I didn't like her before, and I don't like that she set my date on fire. It's kind of a problem. I don't like, you know, but that's what they've been cursed with, and that's what Donald Trump has been blessed with. Some of the worst opponents ever. Adam Schiff, are you kidding me? Who in politics wouldn't kill to have an opponent like Adam Schiff? Jerry Nadler, come on. Maxine Waters, please. Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. It's like American Gothic painting right before they decided to blow their own brains out in a murder-suicide pact. That's what those two look like. They're 3 days past The Walking Dead. And they bring the energy and all the charm of The Walking Dead with them. So it doesn't matter who, I don't know what's going to happen in the Democratic Party. It couldn't be a bigger mess if Republicans were running it and picking who should win. But it sure as hell is going to be a lot of fun to watch. But that doesn't mean that Republicans won't find a way to blow it. This is the biggest thing. It's survival by attrition. So much of politics has devolved into stupid versus stupid, dumb versus dumb. Which one's going to be the last one to make a mistake? Now, Republicans of late haven't made a lot of mistakes, but Republicans are not above making mistakes, are not above doing incredibly stupid things. For example, we nominated Mitt Romney in 2012, for example, as I said. But on the Mitt Romney tip again, and I didn't mean to go back to this, but I was just looking through the Twitter machine and I saw these stories. And I'm just like, God, Republicans are going to get really stupid. One of the best things Republicans have going for them right now is how crazy Democrats are. How if you are a pro-life Democrat, you're run out of the Democratic Party. You better keep it to yourself, Mr. You and your pro-lifiness. That is unattractive to most people. Purity tests in general are unattractive to most people. So that Mitt Romney voted for one of the articles of impeachment, again, it's not going to be reflected in the history books. Nobody's going to give a damn. He's going to get a couple of days of praise from the mainstream media, and maybe he'll do it again. Maybe he'll turn into John McCain fully and completely. Who knows and who cares? He's one guy. If you're going to get your panties in a twist over one guy, you're going to end up like Ahab, just following this one guy, trying to destroy this one guy, while everything else around you crumbles. People in politics never pay attention to the big picture because they're so stupid. They're bent on taking care of themselves or going after somebody, their perceived enemy. And what brought this up and what inspired this rant is this story from the New York Post. Headline, Donald Trump Jr. posts meme calling Mitt Romney a pussy, demands his removal from GOP. And there it is. Apparently this is on Instagram and it probably went out to his Twitter followers as well. It's a picture of Mitt Romney wearing a pair of mom jeans because he's Mitt Romney. He's not a cool guy. Nobody ever thought Mitt Romney was a cool guy. Oh, geez, you know what would be great fun? To be at a Super Bowl party with Mitt Romney. Nobody's ever had that thought. So it's a picture of Mitt Romney wearing mom jeans, and it says, you know, mom jeans, because you're a pussy. There you go. And Don Jr. writes, Mitt Romney is forever bitter that he will never be president of the United States. He was too weak to beat the Democrats, so he's joining them now. He's now officially a member of the resistance and should be expelled from the GOP. I understand that it's his dad and that he's mad that somebody went against his dad. But this is incredibly stupid. No matter how pissed off you are at Mitt Romney for voting for one of the articles of impeachment, A, that vote didn't matter. It's not going to sudden history books were ready to reflect this was a partisan impeachment attempt, and it failed miserably along party lines. Democrats couldn't get any Republicans to vote for it. It is not going to go from that to, my God, the biggest bipartisan impeachment ever. This is huge news. Donald Trump was a monster. No, the people who are going to write history books already hate Donald Trump. It didn't matter if he was never impeached. He was not going to come off well in that. That's why conservatives have to write their own books to get the truth out there, to force the truth into the public eye. Mitt Romney is a Republican. He's not a conservative. That means that when it comes time to do Republican things, Mitt Romney will be a vote you can count on. When it comes to doing big picture conservative things, you're probably not going to get Mitt Romney's vote. But you're more likely to get Mitt Romney's vote in that situation than you will any Democrat's vote. So, trying to convince a Republican to vote for a conservative cause is a much easier lift than trying to get a liberal to vote for a conservative cause. Therefore, expelling Mitt Romney from the party would be counterproductive, would be self-destructive. That's like running in a race and you trip and fall, or you just stumble just a little bit. You don't even trip and fall, you just stumble. And you go, that's it. Take the leg. Take it off. I don't want it anymore. Well, it just happens sometimes. The Daily Wire has this story, and this is where it just continues to get dumber and dumber. Calls exploded to expel Senator Mitt Romney from the Republican Party or recall him from the Senate immediately after he sided with Democrats during the Senate's vote to acquit President Donald Trump on Wednesday afternoon. You can't recall United States senators. You can't. There's no mechanism for it. It would have to be in the Constitution. You're never going to get a constitutional amendment to recall senators. And it's, God, if you have this kind of time and energy in your life, maybe if you focus that on trying to win elections and elect conservatives over Republicans, you wouldn't find yourself in this situation. It's the same way I look at what's going on in Virginia. And it drives me nuts, while also filling me with hope, if that makes any sense. The Democrats in Virginia are making a full-bore assault on the Second Amendment. They are trying to enact massive, restrictive new gun laws. They're trying to seize guns in many cases, ban guns in other cases, make owning guns cost prohibitive, do everything humanly possible to make it harder and harder and more expensive to own a gun. And the people are mobilizing. And it's very nice to see the people of Virginia pulling the, we're going to do a sanctuary county here. We're not going to enforce your laws. We're using your sanctuary state and sanctuary city laws against them. We're against you. We're taking the same concept and weaponizing it against you. I like that aspect of it. But the thousands of people who show up to all these rallies, the thousands of people who have voiced their concern and lobbied their government and everything, to no avail, by the way. To them, I say, good, stay mobilized, be angry, stay involved in politics. But I also say, where the hell were you last November? Why didn't you work this hard last November? If you had worked this hard to elect Republicans, you wouldn't have lost the entire state legislature, and you wouldn't find yourself in this situation in the first place. What did you think was going to happen when you elected Democrats? That's what they do. That's what they've pledged to do. They haven't been hiding the facts of what they want to do to you Virginians. They've been coming after your guns verbally for a very long time and unambiguously, and you sat by and let them get the power to actually do it legislatively. Instead of getting angry about what your government is trying to do to you because the Democrats control it now, elect Republicans before Democrats have a chance to do anything. You can avoid the problem completely. In this situation, Mitt Romney voted one bad way on one bill. Be pissed off at him. But what is the alternative? Having a Democrat there? You think, you know, if somebody could have beaten Mitt Romney in the Republican primary, they would have beaten Mitt Romney in the Republican primary. He's one senator. Who cares? The vote is over. We've got to move on. If you're not looking forward, you're going to walk into something. You want to spend your energy trying to expel Mitt Romney from the GOP? What does that get you? That gets you another senator caucusing with the Democrats or not doing anything. Yeah, be pissed off at him. Don't vote for him. Don't donate money. Don't do whatever you want. Don't tweet nice things to him. Ignore him completely. That's what he'll hate more than anything else. But to sit there and demand, oh my God, he's got to be expelled from the party. when you're going up against Democrats who demand absolute 100% purity of thought, oh, well, you're not for socialized medicine, forget it, get out. You're not for free college, forget it, get out. You're not for open borders and amnesty and voting immediately and welfare benefits for illegal aliens, forget it, get out. You can't go at them for their purity demands of their subjects if you are going to expel someone from your party and try and get them removed from the Senate over one vote, no matter how important that vote is. It just doesn't look well. And when you go to Democrats, you guys are demanding absolute purity. They'll say, guess what? You guys are demanding absolute purity. You've kicked Mitt Romney out of it. He voted yes on one of two articles of impeachment. So think strategically. Don't think angrily. Actually, just think. That's a start. Think. Don't feel. I don't care what you feel. Your feelings are irrelevant compared to what you think. That's the domain of the left. They are the ones who keep people angry and or afraid so people don't think for themselves. Becoming them is not going to make people want to vote for you. Anyway, I've got Quinn in the next room, and she needs to go to bed and be washed thoroughly because, well, Daddy wrote on her hands with red marker because she wanted Owlette and her initials written on her hands, and I got to scrub them off before my wife sees them. Hopefully Sharpie wipes. I think Sharpie wipes washes off pretty easily. I'll find out if I'm in the doghouse tomorrow. Anyway, so I have to cut this show short because fatherhood calls and fatherhood takes priority, as it should for everybody. I thank you for listening. Sorry for the ranting and that last minute thing, but I'm just seeing this stuff and I'm just like, God, Republicans are very, very good, exceedingly good at snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. They really are. They're exceedingly good at snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Just stop being stupid. Stop being stupid, and we stand a chance of winning this thing in November. Democrats are self-destructing. We don't have to follow them down that path. Get over it. By next week, nobody will be talking about impeachment. Nobody will remember what Mitt Romney did. Nobody will care because it doesn't matter. We won. That's what matters. Anyway, tomorrow on the show, we have our interview. It is with author Peter Hassan, whose brother James Hassan was on when his book came out, Stand Down. Now, Peter Hassan has a new book about the tech giants and their push to silence conservatives on social media and online, and how that's a major, major problem for Republicans. Certainly a much bigger problem than how Senator Mom Jeans voted. I get it. It'll get you a lot of followers to be super cool and tell everybody Mitt Romney sucks. But you know what? You got to look forward. You got to move forward. Looking backwards, looking backwards, you look bad. You look like a fool, eventually. So look forward to tomorrow, where we'll be back here with another exciting episode. Thanks for listening.